With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The front office they've assembled, the strong coaching staff they've assembled, the young players in this roster that we're projecting to have a better year in year two or year three, I'd say the advancement of Josh Allen and the defense already being outstanding. The Bills are going to play into January. I really believe that. 4-1 right now. They look to be one of the best teams in the AFC. And I know coaches don't get too caught up into this stuff, and I understand that as well. But if you look at the schedule, I do believe that they have a good chance to take care of business against teams that they should beat, based off of how that team has played so far this year. So I think the Bills will be in the playoff picture when the AFC is whittled down to six teams come January.
Hey, Field, you mentioned culture and the structure that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have put together, put in place here. And this is a discussion topic for Steve and I a lot, because some people in town don't think that's important. How does that manifest itself in the middle of a season? And the Bills 4-1, maybe it's already done it, or maybe it's still to come. But how does culture matter during the middle of a season when, you know, things change and sometimes things get more difficult?
You know something, guys? I think that we have entered an era where there is more data available. There are more people with opinions than ever. And that can be a good thing in a lot of ways. But I think that in some ways we are so desperate to quantify and try to assume that we have intimate knowledge on the inner workings of a team day in and day out. We've got the access to the All-22 film. You've got people that are in the building Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Mondays too, on some occasions, to cover the team. And this is not a Bills thing, and this is not, you know, specific to the media. I'm part of that. We are all collectively
sure.
Part of that.
Yeah.
But the reality is there's a lot that goes on behind closed doors. And there's a lot of camaraderie that contributes to successful football. I think that as much as we may think we know a lot about a particular player or players on teams, there's so much more that can only be understood and learned when you're practicing, when you're working out during the off season, when you are breaking down film. And it sounds like cliches, but, you know, many cliches exist for a reason, because they've been tried and true. And I think that if you see how the Bills are approaching this season, how they appear to approach their craft, the amount of pride they have, and I think to a degree a chip on their shoulder, I think that all, if you just sort of take a step back and figure out what has helped them to 4-1, I think that has been a big part of it. There is a culture of belief in Buffalo, and that's not the case all over the NFL. You can see it with other teams right now that, you know, it feels like they're already on to 2020.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. And you've expressed it much in a much more articulate manner than I feel like we've been able to do. Really
right.
Good. I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
And it's one of the things that has made this team feel differently for fans. And that's one of the things that on our show and other shows throughout Buffalo, fans come in. The team has been 4-1 before. They've been 5-1 before. It didn't feel like this team, and one of the reasons this team feels differently is, one, because they've got a phenomenal defense, and two, it feels like they've got a lot more under their hood offensively that they haven't shown or haven't been able to tap into just yet, and number three is the fact that it seems to be some sort of love fest in this locker room, where these guys really do have a sense of being greater than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, and one thing I want to say is that this is not just a 2019 revelation. This is, you know, these are the seeds that were planted multiple years ago by Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean together. And they went through some good times. I know, you know, a couple of years ago when the Bills made the playoffs, in many ways it was the greatest thing that could have happened to the franchise. Snapped the drought, gave the, you know, entire Western New York area something he could cheer about, and that's needed. At the same time, I think that Bills team was not as good as your average playoff team normally is. And I don't mean that as a slight at the team. What I mean why that's important is that it made some people believe that the trajectory was at a different stage than it really was. That was still a team that was needing to strip some things down, find the right fits, manage the cap more effectively, eventually find a long-term option at quarterback. Now, it was great to make the playoffs that year, but I wasn't surprised that from a record standpoint, things went backwards the year after that. And now I'm not surprised now that what has really been a three-year process is starting to rear itself. And, I could probably sit here and study each team's roster and figure out where the Bills stand 1 to 53 based on pure talent. But part of the reason why I love football, and I think why all of us love football, is that it's the ultimate team sport. And no matter what's supposed to happen, no matter how close the game is or is not going to be, we can't predict what's going to happen on Sundays. And that's what I really enjoyed about this Bills team is, they got two gutty road wins. I don't care who you're playing. Winning on the road in the NFL is difficult. They take care of business. Maybe it was a little bit less than spectacular in week 3. They play the Patriots really tough in week 4. And they go to Tennessee and they match physicality with physicality against the Titans. And, sloppy weather didn't deter them. They played their game and they win. And I really appreciate and respect what the Bills are doing right now as an organization.
On the line with Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider. Field, you tweeted out this week, and maybe this plays into the culture theme as well, but just what a great story the Duke Williams story was. Caught the go-ahead touchdown pass Sunday in Tennessee. What did you take from that? What did you see there?
I just think it says it all, and it's a Bills story. It's a Duke Williams story. I think it's a sports story. I think it's a perseverance story. We spend a lot of time analyzing players when they're 15, 16, and 17 years old. Who has the most five-star recruits? Who has the best recruiting class? Things of that nature. And I get why. Trust me, I am a sucker for it as much as anybody. My wife is a Boston College graduate. I went to Wesleyan University, so we recruit no star players. But my wife went to Boston College, and every once in a while, I'll check in and see what the recruits look like for that school. And if I see a five-star guy commit to Boston College, which rarely happens, it gets me fired up. Uh-huh. At the same time, that's a 16-year-old or 17-year-old player being evaluated. So Duke Williams, who entered college or eventually made his way to Auburn with great fanfare, and at some points was viewed as a potential first-round pick. It didn't happen. And Duke Williams goes to the Rams, an undrafted free agent, and he's up in Canada. And the CFL is a great, great league, but some people use it as their opportunity to just kind of make fun of football. Hey, it's that gimmicky league that takes place, when the NFL is not in full force, or that league that, you turn on ESPN in the middle of, the random months when the NFL is in its offseason, and next thing you know, you're watching, Edmonton versus Winnipeg. But it's a developmental league, even if not by design, it does help develop players. Duke Williams could have done a lot of things. He could have quit football. He could have pouted. I love the fact that he went to work. I like the fact that he gave Canada a chance because Canada was willing to give him a chance. And the result is on Sunday, a moment that regardless of what happens with Duke Williams' career, with the Bills or anywhere else, I think he's never going to forget all that time, that touchdown scored, those moments with the fans. I thought that was a really special moment for a player that I think really earned it. And not that players don't earn everything, but I thought that Duke Williams in particular earned his keep there.
I think what's one of the interesting things about it, that the culture we talked about a little bit earlier, it manifested itself in Duke Williams. Not only did he earn his way onto the field, but Zay Jones, in essence, earned his way off the field. They traded spots. Right. Zay Jones is no longer here. It lends itself to highlight the tinkering that this coaching staff are willing to do even mid-season, during the season, to try and get better and to help Josh Allen. What do you think is next for this Bills offense and their attempts to get better?
Well, first of all, it would be great to have Devin Singletary back in the lineup, which seems like it could happen next week. I'm not reporting, just sort of speculating based off of what felt like the initial timeline. The fact that he's been questionable for a couple games in a row makes you think he's kind of close to returning. Devin Singletary being back, I think the integration of Duke Williams even more. I know he played 51 snaps on Sunday, so he's pretty much already become a full-time player, or already was a full-time player, I should say. But just further development, each week, and I don't want to make this so simple, but each week we're going to have to see more and more from Josh Allen, which I think we are. And I just say that, when things are going great, I think, character is examined. But I think when things aren't going great, character is revealed. And I think that the Bills, it hasn't been easy to get to 4-1. And not that it's ever easy in the NFL, but I think that some of these grind them out wins have showed the character of this team. And the offense, I think, has a chance to really, really make some strides going forward.
Talking with Field Yates of ESPN, NFL Insider, about the Bills. And let me get you on some of the other NFL issues. Washington's coming here in a couple of weeks. We assume Bill Callahan will be their coach when they're here, would you think, Field? And where are they going long term at the coaching spot with the Redskins?
Yeah, I think I respected that Bill Callahan said yesterday, hey, I'm not, you know, I'm coaching for myself. I mean, I'm coaching for my team today. I'm not coaching for me. Not worried about my long-term status here. And people might say that's, you know, that's lip service. I thought it was sincere. What I would say for the Redskins is that the hardest part of scouting, well, scouting is hard. But I think where you can really err is when you don't scout yourself well. It's really hard to scout guys on the outside that you haven't had exposure to because, you know, it's one thing when they're in somebody else's building, but to evaluate what they're going to be in your building is a tall task. Even, quote-unquote, can't-miss prospects are can't-miss, or can-miss, I should say. Whether it's someone like Trent Richardson, a number three overall pick as a running back, as an example, or other players. But when you're not scouting yourself well, that's a problem. And it feels as though the Redskins have not scouted themselves well during this process. I believe that they need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and decide whether is right now the time to, I don't want to say strip it to the studs, because what the Dolphins are doing is almost unlike anything we've seen in the NFL in terms of, you know, shipping off many significant players basically for draft picks. But do you take a long-term approach? I think the Bills did that, and they've done so, you know, fairly masterfully. I know it's, you know, there's still a lot of work to be put in, but what they showed is that you could have a forward-thinking mindset and also still build character and, you know, put the program in place. I think if I'm the Redskins, that's what my motivation is right now, is find a way to identify the players that are pillars long-term and then start to trim the edges so that you can have a clear long-term vision. And the most important thing you can remind yourself, no shortcuts. Don't try to buy your way into something. Take the time, because football takes a lot of time.
What if they have one of their pillars, or what seems to be from the outside, one of their pillars, like a Trent Williams, who doesn't want to play for them anymore? I mean, that does kind of short-circuit the process.
I have no idea what's going on with Trent Williams. So, yeah. I mean, I do know what's going on with Trent Williams. He's not there. And I understand that teams, and the Jaguars might be an example of this with with Jalen Ramsey, is that you can't always acquiesce to what the players want, because if you do so the first time, let's say you turned around and traded Jalen Ramsey 5 minutes after he, you know, begged for a trade, what if somebody else tomorrow begged for a trade? What if Gardner Minshew says, you know something, this is so much fun, but I want to go play somewhere else? It's about precedent, right? That being said, it also doesn't make sense to trade Jalen Ramsey because he's 24 years old. He plays a very difficult position to find, and he might be the best there is at doing so. But where the Trent Williams situation is different is that he doesn't really fit their timeline. 31 years old, he's got a year and 11 weeks left on his contract. It's an expensive contract that if you move off of it, you would create cap space, which, remember, in the NFL, cap space continually can be rolled over. So unused cap space is future savings. You can probably turn it into draft picks. You can definitely – it's not getting rid of a problem, but what it is your players are no longer answering to it or for it, you know? And I think that it doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface, and maybe it won't for quite some time. But if I were the Redskins, my primary objective with Trent Williams right now would be to try to find maximum value for him.
Hey, Field, we're less than 3 weeks away from the trade deadline with the unhappy receivers, with Jalen Ramsey, maybe with Trent Williams. Do you expect a flurry of activity over these next couple of weeks?
You know, I think that I don't know if we'll have a massive trade deadline. We actually had a pretty active one last year, which was fun. But what I do think we'll see is trades along the lines of the Zay Jones trade, which I think was originally reported by Mort on Monday night during the game. So we'll see some of that. And not that that's not an important trade, but, you know, a fifth-round pick in 2021 is different than maybe a first-round pick being traded or something like that. But I expect there to be some trades. I think NFL teams have been pretty active over the past 5 years relative to maybe the 10 years before that, which I don't mean to be trite because I know it's livelihoods impacted. As a fan of the game, trades are interesting and sometimes fun and compelling because they give us the chance to think about the hypothetical. So I expect the trade deadline 20 days away to be a pretty unique one.
All right, Field, it's that time of the show where we've got people who have called in or sent us some questions for you about fantasy football. And we always have to read these because Murph and I are not absolute novices when it comes to fantasy. And now I can't. Here it is. I got it. Here we go. All right. First of all, let's go with this. And here's the question. Is it time to say goodbye to Stephon Diggs and start Adrian Peterson this week?
Man, you know, I understand the desire to want to start Adrian Peterson because they play the Dolphins. I would go with Stephon Diggs, though. They played the Eagles, and the Eagles' secondary issues I know are well documented. They have really struggled to defend anybody whatsoever this year.
We have a tweet here from Tick about fantasy football. Tick writes, a little bit of a quandary with Melvin Gordon, Eckler, Damian Williams. Do I start Gordon, Eckler, or Williams, Eckler? I have Gurley and have to start two of those three. I hate to start two running backs from the same team. Which of those is the right move? This is why I don't play fantasy football, Phil, because this is too complicated for me. I can't even read the
question. Well, the thing about this is where I love it when people say, should I start Jones, Young, or Williams? And I'm like, which Jones, which Young, or which Williams?
That's right.
Half the league is Jones or Young or Williams or James. It's Allen. It's hard to keep up with them all. In that case, I'd go with Austin Eckler and I'd go with Damian Williams, two players who have the best chance of catching a bunch of passes for their respective offenses.
All right, that makes sense. All right, from Ben, we got one. Do you start or sit Devontae Freeman versus Arizona or Philip Lindsay versus Tennessee?
That's an excellent roster quandary to have. I'm going to go with Devontae Freeman, although Lindsay has been rock solid this year for the Broncos. It's almost a 50-50 split in that backfield in Denver. Like, it's almost perfect in terms of the number of snaps he and Royce Freeman are both playing. So give me Devontae Freeman.
All right. Here's a long one from Alex. These are fantasy football questions for our guest, Field Yates, from Alex. Should I pick up Josh Gordon, Curtis Samuel, or Cortland Sutton and drop Christian Kirk? If it's Sutton, do I sit either Cooks, Hill, or Gallup? Also, start or sit Tyreek Hill coming back from injury? It's a lot there. Can you handle all that, Phil?
I can handle that. So, first of all, if Tyreek Hill plays, you play Tyreek Hill in your lineup. Okay. That's the easy part.
Okay.
I think of those three players that were named, I would grab Cortland Sutton. I would be playing, honestly, though, grab Cortland Sutton. But I would keep Christian Kirk. So, if there's somebody else you can drop, I'd do that. If you have to drop Christian Kirk for Cortland Sutton, I think it's defensible, but I think I would just keep Christian Kirk and continue to play him, understanding that he's dealing with an injury issue right now. But if your team is so good that you can afford to drop Christian Kirk, you may not need my advice.
Right, there you go. I got another one here, and this is a quick one. What about Mike Evans? Should you hang in there with him or stick it out, or should you get rid of him?
Yeah, the hard part is that you really can't trade Mike Evans for anything of consequence right now. It's close to what you invested in him. I'd stick it out. He still has six end zone targets, which is tied for the third most in the NFL. So he's getting some of those money looks. I don't think there's any way that Mike Evans stays down like he has in really 3 out of the 5 weeks so far this season. He'll get right.
Okay.
Fantasy football question from Nando for you, Field. Who are the better wide receiver starts out of Juju, Julio Jones, Kupp, and Shark?
I think Juju will be the one that you sit, and then the other three are – absolutely play them all. Julio, Kupp, Shark, play all three of those guys, and you got to feel great about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the story with Juju and the offense there in Pittsburgh? You don't know who's going to play quarterback from week to week at this point.
Yeah.
And Juju was supposed to be the guy that was going to, like, make it possible for them not to remember who Antonio Brown was, you know, and it's just none of it has come to fruition.
Yeah, it's been a ridiculously bad year of injuries so far for the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, James Washington, Jalen Samuels. So Juju, I think, is in part limited by his quarterback play. You know, obviously, it's tough when you're playing with the guy in Devlin Hodges, who was basically a camp arm when he was originally signed out of Samford. He's been a great story since then. I just think the injuries caught up to them. I don't know that it's a massive schematic issue, but when you're that banged up and that many players that are on IR or could be on IR eventually, it's hard to keep up with that.
I have one more. This is a fantasy football question for you, Field. Why do fantasy football players have so many questions? Why can't they trust their own judgment? Really? What? No, I'm not doubting your expertise, but why do they feel a need to ask somebody else how to play the game?
It's confirmation. It's I think that's probably the world we live in. You know, it's like you make an investment in the stock, you always run it by your stock manager or something like that. But my one piece of advice, more than anything else, I tell people is it's your lineup. Ultimately, if you ask me a question and I don't give you the answer that you want, go with the answer that you had in mind. So if you disagree with my decision, play who you want to play.
I think we there ought to go. Make you say that every time you come on and answer these questions. It's a disclaimer. You probably have heard from people who say, hey, you told me to sign this guy, right? You've heard that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It happens every Sunday.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, Field.
Great. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Field Yates, NFL insider, the host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, joins us every Wednesday at this time. Not just talk about fantasy football, right?
We bounce around the league first and talk about what he thinks about the Bills. He's very high and has been very high on the Bills throughout the offseason. And he's at this point, he looks pretty smart doing it. Not all the national guys have been jumping on this bandwagon for very long.
There's plenty of room on the bandwagon.
Plenty of room,
as John Muckler used to say. Plenty of room on the bandwagon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to get back to our topic of the day. What are you most looking forward to after the bye? We will recap the Twitter poll results. We'll read some from the tweet sheet. I don't think we've done that yet as far as that question. And take more phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Halfway through the show, it's halftime on One Bills Live. Welcome. We should do that, Steve, you know? Have like a halftime, have a marching band. Wouldn't that be great? Have a band come in here at halftime at 1:30.
We should have like different bump music at halftime, like the marching band. Did you see the Ohio State marching band on what they did the other day?
No.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big marching band guy.
I love marching bands.
Right. The Ohio State band did a moon landing, one small step, one giant leap with a rocket.
Love it.
With a rocket taking off, Neil Armstrong coming off the landing module, planting the flag and having the flag unfurl, and the arm of the astronaut made out of human beings coming down and planting the flag. It was unbelievable.
That's cool.
Yeah, you can catch it on social media where they'll go back and look at it. I got to give a shout out to the Ohio State marching band for that one.
You know, was it good? They had a marching band in Nashville the other day. I think it was Tennessee State University. Huge marching band filled the entire field, and they were great, and they were dancing, and it was a great halftime show. Yeah. I love those kind of halftime shows.
They used to have the marching bands here once in a while, and I was, you find out stuff. Yeah, it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring a marching band in.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it cost some tickets to have them sit in the stadium. You got to give up the tickets.
I love marching bands.
And, pay for them to come up, all that. But
I love marching bands.
I know. They are really, think about it. It is a football only kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
Marching band.
Kind
of nostalgic.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Hey, what are you looking for the next rest of the season? 11 games left. We're not at the halfway point. We talked about that. It's the halfway point for Bills players and coaches and many of us who start when camp starts. It's 11 weeks in, 11 weeks more in the regular season. But still, most of this regular season is still to be played. And we're asking the question on Twitter today, what are you most looking forward after the forward to after the bye week? We've got more than 880 votes in on the Twitter poll, and it's a good one. What are you most looking forward to? 41% of you say you're looking for an uptick in the offense. Who wouldn't, right? They got to get better offensively. If they're going to continue on this, you know, 4 wins out of 5 games, they got to get better on offense. 41% of you say that's the place to go. 34% of you say you're looking for the return of injured players, and there are a couple notable injured players who should return soon. 24% of you say you're looking for 3 straight home games coming up right after the bye. 1% have something else in mind. Let's talk about it. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call, and we will discuss, or we can read on the Twitter, the tweet sheet. What do you got?
We had that question during the break, and I'm going to let him in on our conversation. Okay. John Gruden was years ago was coach of the Raiders, got traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then played the Raiders that year in the Super Bowl. And we got on this because Bill Callahan took over for John Gruden when he left the Raiders and coached them against Gruden in the Super Bowl. Now Bill Callahan took over for Jay Gruden when he got fired by the Washington Redskins, right? Okay, yeah. So we're like, well, didn't Gruden win the Super Bowl against the Brent? Yeah, okay, and that Super Bowl was Super Bowl 37. That was okay. Super Bowl 37. Okay, the halftime. Who was the halftime performer? I got it. Here it is. Ready?
Who is it?
Shania Twain, No Doubt, and Sting.
Okay.
That was the halftime
show. I was
show.
At the Super Bowl and did not care about
the trivia Super Bowl just continues to pile up. I mean, like you go back to Super Bowl 37. Who is the halftime show? That's pretty good trivia field right there, right?
It is. It's very trivial.
That's minutia.
Trivial is the word for that.
Yeah.
Let's.
There you go. I got your
phone calls. Joe and Tonawanda. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Hi guys. Well, I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm looking for the Bills to go 14-2. I mean, the blowouts are going to come. I mean, I could just see it with Tall Juke Williams and Singletary coming back. I'm looking forward to the rematch with New England because that seems to be our only nemesis now. And question is, what are we looking for at the trade deadline?
Maybe nothing. Nothing. This isn't hockey, Joe. Nothing. You know what? I know we're going to get a lot of calls over the next 3 weeks because people have this, like, hockey mentality. Let's add this part. Let's add this part. If they do, fine. But, look, the Bill, what are you laughing about?
You stepped all over Joe. Man. No, like, I mean. Shut up, Joe. I got to tell you what they're going
to
do.
No, you don't need to spend the next 2.5, 3 weeks thinking, what do we need? What do we need? Who's out there? Who are we going to get? You know, you don't need Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if you need one of those receivers. One of those guys, and on all of these big name guys who might be available in the trade have caused problems in their current situation, right? Do you want to bring a problem in? You got a pretty good thing going on here. You got really good culture. You got people who care about what they're doing here. And I don't know. What do you think they need? What are we desperately in need of that we're going to talk about for 3 weeks? I'm going to say it again. Nothing.
What did I tell you?
Nothing.
Earlier? Was that on the show or was it in our office when I was telling you that?
I told you. I get confused.
Right. I was telling you. I said, I'm good with where they're at.
Me too.
They're good. They're good now. They got talent now. They got depth now. And I know all these people, you know, they drool over the Julio Jones. Julio Jones just signed a huge contract with the Falcons, and the whole run-up before it, he wasn't going to hold. He didn't hold out. He didn't. He went to training camp, did all the preseason. The deal wasn't done because he said, I'm going to retire an Atlanta Falcon. The owner, Arthur Blank, said, we're going to take care of Julio because we want him to retire an Atlanta Falcon. You really think you're going to trade for that guy now?
And yeah, it's not going to happen. You really want Jalen Ramsey? You really want bring him in, the headaches that he would bring and the salary impact he would bring in? Levi Wallace has been one of the better players on the Buffalo defense, and you're not moving Trey. This is not hockey. Let me say it again. You don't just send spare parts around the league before the trade deadline. Yeah, it's a deadline, and stuff could happen. I mean, 2 years ago when the Bills were trying to shed cap, Brandon Bean made moves, right? Got rid of Marcell Dareus at the deadline, brought in Kelvin Benjamin. I don't see that happening this year. I could be wrong. I would not approach it like, well, we got to make some moves. Need a receiver, need a corner. No, you don't.
I don't think they need to. You know what I wouldn't care if they did? If they brought in like a guy like Trent Williams, got this year and one more on his contract, 31 years old, that's right. Come in, bring him on that one-year deal. He can come in, acclimate to this system, maybe take over at right tackle this next year, maybe even left tackle, whatever you want to do.
Does he fit
into
the culture?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know the guy. If he does, that's great. If he seems to be one of those guys that's sharp, intelligent, got the right DNA, yeah, I'd make a trade like that because you don't need him to come in and catch passes. You don't need him to come in, and you can come in and sit him on the bench for 3 weeks until he gets acclimated in the offense and then plug him in spots, and then maybe he takes over, he plays well enough or whatever. It allows you to move Cody Ford down inside. It gives you more depth on the offensive line. We lost two guys in one game.
I know.
And they finished up okay. I get it. But that's the one position group for me where you can't have too many good players.
I hear you.
But that we don't need to do that.
Let's go to Don in Eden. Don, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi.
First-time caller, so I'm be a little patient at times.
Sure.
One of the things I'd like to see a little bit more on them with the Bills is, first of all, Josh Allen to get rid of the ball quicker. And at times he stands there and holds and it makes you nervous.
And I gotcha. Yeah, and that's a valid point. And I think it has a lot to do with the lack of separation by receivers. So let's go trade for Julio Jones. No, I'm just kidding. But it does. You know, the receivers aren't getting open right away. And that's any quarterback will struggle with that. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Don.
But then just throw the ball away, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and he does that. You know, we've seen him kind of go up and down on that. Sometimes he does that. He did it a couple of times against Tennessee. He didn't do it enough against New England, obviously. He has ups and downs like that. I wish he'd get more consistently good at that. Go ahead. What else, Bob? Don, I'm sorry.
I'd like to see him run the ball a little bit more. And they did kind of the second half of the Tennessee game, I did see him run it a little bit more, but – I suppose now, is Singletary supposed to be coming back soon? Or?
He was close last Sunday. McDermott was asked about him Monday. Let me find the answer. Yeah, I mean, he's close. I would anticipate, and I don't know, but I would anticipate he would be back soon, probably.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking for the answer. I can't find it here in the transcript, but I'm anticipating Singletary will be back for the Miami game.
Okay. And one other thing was I know last week when one of the callers was talking something about training for Julio Jones and stuff, and I said, and Steve got all pretty wound up about it, and I was like, not as wound up as I got when they traded for when they traded two picks for Sammy Watkins. I thought that was crazy, but the thing of it is when and I'm sitting there saying it's all they had to do was make a trade within their own system, and they did. They didn't trade him. They didn't put Zay Jones on practice squad, but they basically brought Duke Williams in, which I think he's better than Zay Jones. I don't think it would have been one of the interceptions on the New England game if they would have made that trade and he would have been playing that game instead of Zay Jones. So,
All right. But, thank you very much,
okay.
Don. Let's take a call here from Sean in Buffalo. Hello, Sean. You're on the air.
Yeah. question. My prediction – well, here's my question. Do you think – All our injured players are going to come back sometime this week, sometime in the future.
I don't know about all of them, but I think they're hoping that many of them are back for the Miami game.
It depends on when. They'll all come back. None of the injuries right now are critical or severe, but I don't know that they'll make it back till the Miami game right after the bye.
About, the bye week and that stuff. I think we could win most of our games. And probably lose against the Patriots and New England and Dallas, but then we're going to probably be 12-4.
All right, thanks, Sean. We're going to break. We're going to come back with more, and we do have to read some of these tweets because they're pretty good ones, so come on back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're live at the Seneca Studio. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We've had a lot of talk this week about handshakes, pregame handshakes, all since, was it Monday night? No, Sunday night?
Monday night football. San Francisco, Cleveland.
Baker Mayfield, apparently, according to Richard Sherman, on Monday night, Tuesday morning, did not shake his hand. Turns out he did. We showed the video yesterday. And now Richard Sherman appeared on Pat McAfee's show and admitted that he made a mistake and apologized. Listen to this. Richard Sherman. On this issue,
it's definitely my bad. I never want anybody to have to deal with some stuff that they didn't that they didn't do. And so, the questions that he's going to get and the annoying nonsense questions about some stuff that happened in a game that's already been done, you know, sure, he'll get an apology for that. I'll probably reach out to him via text or social media to actually get a hold of him and talk to him in person, I mean, on the phone. But yeah, because that sucks. But first off, that was a great name y'all came up with, like Dapgate. I was crying laughing. But yeah, he definitely deserves an apology.
He deserves an apology, Richard Sherman says.
Well, here's what happened.
He did say he would issue an apology.
It was exactly what I told you yesterday. Richard Sherman did what I told you Thurman used to do. Take one small thing that the opponent did and wind it up into this big thing. And what happened was they did shake hands when they first got out to midfield. Hey, Captain Mayfield, Captain Sherman, all that. Then they stood apart, flipped the coin. When the coin was done, the official steps to one side and starts to say, this team will receive, all that. And before he did that, Baker Mayfield just booked off and went to the sideline. When he went to the sideline, that's when Sherman took that in his own mind. He said, look, you know what? You're not going to shake our hands at the end? And there's film. Sherman waves goodbye to him, so he noticed. And he took that, balled it up, used it as fire, and picked him off during the game, and that was it. So then Sherman tries to relate what happened to some reporter who—
Mike Silver.
Right, who gets it completely wrong. And that's where we sit with this Dapgate thing. It's one of the things that players do. They take a small thing that the opponent does. It's totally inconsequential to anybody, even to them. And then they ball it up and they say, oh, yeah? And they use it as fuel during the game. They take the stupidest stuff. I've done it. Every player's done it. And that's what Sherman did. And he let a reporter in on that and the reporter had no context, nothing to do, and spewed it out there. Well, there's video evidence of what everything happened. And then Sherman's got to say, okay, wait. Hold on. That's not what happened. I apologize. Because Baker's, you know how Baker's got to deal with all this now, too. So that's where all that came from. It was crazy stuff.
It's amazing how we've talked about a handshake, a pregame handshake, for 2 days now.
You know what I was thinking about the Browns the other day? Yesterday? I was walking my 9 holes yesterday. And you know, they went from 1-15, 0-16, to having a target on their back faster than any franchise in NFL history. Right?
And can I say, it's not their fault.
No.
It's media. It's hype. Yeah. It's social media.
Expectations.
In particular.
It's hype. Yeah, and it's the players they got and the guys they got, the talent they acquired.
They played 5 games this year. And 3 of them have been on primetime TV.
Right.
The Cleveland Browns.
Think about it. They went from laughingstock to the target of everybody, like, in 12 months. It was like, boom, everybody, let's go get those guys, you know? And that's pretty amazing. Now, because they haven't won anything, and they're the team everybody's looking to knock off.
Because of the hype.
Yeah.
Because of the crazy, unsubstantiated hype.
And that's
nuts.
It wasn't their friend in this case, that's for sure.
Much better atmosphere in other parts of the NFL, where maybe not as much is expected after a 6-win season, and all of a sudden you're 4-1.
And everybody's like, they might be all right.
Yeah, right, that's fine, right?
That's a much better place to be.
Yeah,
Like, you think those guys are really good? I don't know.
That's fine.
Just sit and watch them for a while, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, nobody's like shooting arrows at us.
They score only 18 points a game.
Yeah, they're not. We got a chance against those guys.
Hey,
right?
Twitter poll, what are you most looking forward to after the Bills bye week? Let's get to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. Brian tweets this in on the tweet sheet. From Brian, I'm looking forward to seeing an uptick in the offense against the Dolphins. We've moved the ball well, but haven't scored much. That has to end when the Finns come to town. We need to take care of the ball and dominate the scoreboard. Zero excuses against the worst team in the NFL. I'm good with that. I don't think they'll need excuses. I think they'll play well against Miami.
You're right. I mean,
bye week.
When you start making excuses is when you go 7-9, 8-8, 9-7.
Yeah.
When you should have been 11-5, 12-4, 10-6.
Now,
you
know? Next week at this time, we'll be saying, don't overlook
that's
Miami.
That's right. Yeah, you got to. All right, somebody else, Max, is chiming in as well. B and C, which is, I believe, the return of injured players will play
an offense.
Yes. Well, I believe the return of injured players will play a role in evolving the offense. Devin Singletary, Motor, Robert Foster, Tyler Croft should provide a spark and make some key plays as they integrate into the offensive game plan. I would expect Two, a concentrated focus on deeper passes and chunk plays. And I think that's one of the things that, that people are harping on. That's why we hear all this crazy talk about trading for a number one wide receiver and they throwing out all these names is because people are missing the big plays. I think one of the reasons people miss big plays from this offense is because that's the only tool they had in the toolbox last year. And they think, well, it's got to still be there, right? Maybe it's not. Maybe that's not how they're going to win games this year. They certainly hasn't been the way they've done it this year. It's been short passes, long runs, like it was this last week against Tennessee with a little flip lateral to Isaiah McKenzie. You know, they got these guys that, and a short pass, long run. Frank Gore snapping off a long run. Devin Singletary, when he was playing, snapping off long runs. That maybe that's the big play that this team's going to have to rely on rather than throwing the football 40 yards down the field.
One more from the tweet sheet from Sipping the Kool-Aid. I'm most looking forward to the return of all the injured players and seeing Singletary's impact to the offense. I'm also looking forward to seeing the team implement Duke Williams a little more in the offense. He makes a lot of tough, tight window catches. His hands are like vices. Hey, it's a pretty good point about Singletary, I got to say. And as I read that, I think, yeah, we saw Devin in a couple of games and, what, 10 carries in a couple of games. He's got a lot more to offer this offense, I think, a lot more. Like maybe 10 carries per game, not 10 carries in the first two games. And I really look forward to being around when he's ready to go, and it might be the Miami game.
You think he's got a lot more to offer?
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. Now, because he's been out of there, maybe that's why Dawson Knox has gotten some opportunity. Maybe that's, you know, you find out some things. Maybe that's part of the reason it evolved over. Now Duke Williams is on the roster. They needed something to do. They need some guys to throw to. But, yeah, no question, he was fun to watch while he was in there. He gave him a little something-something, particularly you think about it in the last half of that Jets game, the last quarter of that Jet game, and also in the Giants game. He was doing some things. We haven't seen him since. And, you know, let's face it, we all feel like this offense needs some help, and
yeah,
that's the guy you look at.
All right, a break. When we come back, it's our Friday guest normally. Greg Cosell is going to be with us today because we don't have a show Friday. We're off Thursday and Friday. Greg Cosell, the executive producer and analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, standing by to join us after the top of the hour. Come on back for that. John Murphy with Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, coming to you from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.